Hello, everybody. Welcome on in. It's Fighters Fury here on 790 The Ticket. Tobin here with you. All right. Seems like we got it. All right. We got a big one. Down here in Miami, it seems like the 305 zone, Jorge Masvidal pending a negative COVID-19 test in Las Vegas. He will be in the main event to take on Kamaru Usman. So huge, huge news. You know, we were talking about this on Sunday morning. I wasn't super optimistic that it was going to happen just because it felt like way too many hurdles. But look, they got their own damn fight island. So I guess the UFC can move when they want to on this. Honestly, I got to be honest with you. The thing that's disappointing about all of this is it took Gilbert Burns testing positive for coronavirus to give Jorge Masvidal what he wanted. Like, it took them being bent over a barrel in a tough spot to just probably, you know, lift the numbers where they should have been in the first place. I guess that's my first reaction to it. My second reaction to it is this is the fight we wanted the whole time. Look, this is, we talked about this. This was no disrespect to Gilbert Burns, who's had a fantastic rise, but these two have been on a collision course for a long time. They've been jawing in the media back and forth. It's a fun matchup. You know, you have the striking of Jorge Masvidal, the wrestling of Kamaru Usman, but Usman, who's really been on his feet for the last few fights. I don't know if we're going to see that style when it comes and these guys actually face each other, but this is going to be fun, man. And Jorge Masvidal, you just think about everything he's been through in his career, how long he's been doing it, and finally the man gets himself a crack at the UFC title. You know, the Bad Mother Bleeper belt was cool. It was a fun one-off event. It was a fan-made fight with him and Nate Diaz, and it really was an electric atmosphere. But ultimately, you know, money aside, all that type of stuff, money's important, but there is a prestige still in being world champion. And now he's going to have that opportunity after nearly two decades in the game. You got to be super happy for Jorge Masvidal and getting this chance. And look, it's not an easy feat. He's going in there against a guy in Usman who has looked like an absolute wrecking machine. He's been dominating five-round fights. He's had an unbelievable gas tank, all that type of stuff that's been worried about as far as how long he can last. You know, what is the guy have as far as when the fight gears up? You know, he has been dominating fights over five rounds and seemingly like he's got a lot to go as the fights wear on. So this is a big time challenge for George. No doubt about it. But, you know, it's tough to gauge because I'm trying to think about the last grapplers he's taken on. He took on Ben Askren. It's tough to get a gauge with it because he flying kneed him in 5 seconds. So it's not that doesn't count for something. It's a record breaking knockout, but you don't really know what he's doing against a guy grappling other than, you know, Ben went for a takedown and he ended up staring at the stars. You remember the Damian Maia fight where George clearly had the advantage on the feet, did a lot of hand fighting and was wearing Damian Maia as a backpack. But, you know, for somebody taking Jorge down, we haven't gotten to see that in a bit. And so this is an interesting matchup for sure. And then as far as Usman is concerned, you know, Usman's going into this. I'm trying to look right now. Last guy he really took on who was prolific on the ground, I don't know, man. Like, especially since welterweight, his return to welterweight doesn't really have a ton of it. Nobody with the criteria of a Kamaru Usman. Nobody. And look, Kamaru Usman has a stunning resume. He really, really does. He's been fantastic. He's been a guy who has really, since that Emil Meek win where, you know, he kind of got into it with UFC president Dana White, his performance against Maia, his performance against Dos Anjos, and Tyron Woodley was really the stunning one because we hadn't seen Tyron Woodley look like that. Now Tyron's been faced some hard times lately. And then Colby Covington, I mean, their fight was absolutely fantastic. You know, Tyron isn't the versatile striker that Jorge is, nor is Dos Anjos. You know, so it's funny. It's like they're both kind of taking on a matchup neither has seen in a very long time. It's that classic clash of styles. And it'll be interesting. You know, this is going to be interesting. You did see at times Colby was able to land some big shots on on Kamaru Usman. And if those shots were landed by, you know, Jorge Masvidal, would it be a different story? I mean, obviously his strike is a lot more superior, even with Colby putting a lot of output on stuff. You know, this is a fun matchup. It's a fun matchup. These guys, you know, I remember sitting across from George over at the Super Bowl Radio Row, and this was the day before the whole ruckus happened. And I just told, you know, I was talking to him about, like, I know at that point it was like, I know you want the Conor fight, but I was preaching on this show for a while, like, you know, I want to see you win the championship. You know, I'm all for Conor and I'm all for a guy getting paid a ton of money, but I want the storyline to end with him having his hand raised with a piece of gold wrapped around his waist. And, you know, I think eventually that will bring Conor McGregor, because I think Conor would honestly, if Masvidal wins this fight and beats Kamaru, I wouldn't be surprised if you get word that the end of the year is going to be him versus Conor McGregor for the welterweight championship. Don't be surprised if that's the way they go. I know it won't make a lot of people happy because Conor's cutting in line again, but he's Conor McGregor. And I just think that he's kind of right now without a dance partner and he's without a goal in mind. So I think that's probably where it would end up going. If Usman wins, will he go? I don't know. I mean, it's a tough matchup for Conor. You're talking about a guy up a weight class with a lot of the skill set of Khabib Nurmagomedov. So I don't know if he goes and he decides to take that dive. But I think if Jorge ends up winning the title, I think that for sure puts him in line to fight Conor McGregor later on in the year. This is look. It's not that before I felt like Jorge was taking a fight on a situation where, like, he wasn't willing to risk against Kamaru. I think he really was. I just feel like he thought it was a slap in the face after all he had brought to the table in the Nate Diaz fight. I think he probably thought it was a slap to the face that they really were lowballing him. This is a really cool moment for Miami sports. I can't stress that enough. You guys know we've been talking about how the fight culture down here doesn't get the respect it deserves, especially with all the great fighters down here. These are two guys who train in South Florida. One is from down here and is born and bred, and Kamaru has basically trained down here his entire career outside of now him moving to Colorado because of the Gilbert Burns situation. But the buildup of this is fantastic. You know, ATT, the Black Zillions crew moving to Hard Knocks 365, all that type of stuff. It has that element to it. It has clash of styles. It has the two not liking each other, especially a real brewing rivalry over really what has been. You know, I remember talking to Kamaru before his fight with Colby, and just from then was already doing the whole who thing, you know, where, you know, George turned him into an owl and whatnot, but basically saying that, you know, he thought that Masvidal was getting too much respect for his rise. Which I get. Look, you're a guy who's probably upset at welterweight champion that there's a guy more famous in your division, and that can harbor a lot of ill will. But from my standpoint, this is the fight. I mean, really, there's not a fight right now outside of Conor and Khabib that they could make in the UFC. Maybe John Jones versus Francis Ngannou, but that doesn't even have that's just the freak show. You know, that's like Godzilla versus, you know, that's like Godzilla versus, you know, whatever. Godzilla versus Godzilla, basically. And they go out there and they're going to be taking on a situation where this is two guys really deserving of fighting each other. Masvidal deserves to be atop the welterweight crown, even with the run that Gilbert has been on. Nobody had a 2019 quite like Jorge Masvidal. It's just been pandemic and situations. He hasn't gotten a chance to build off of that. And he's one of the biggest stars in the UFC. And I think this is going to be monster for their business. You were talking, you know, when this news first broke, I was like, I didn't think the UFC was going to bite the bullet on this simply because I think they already knew they were going into a fight where they weren't going to sell fantastic. I think it was going to do fine. Again, they're the only show in town. So I think, and the UFC numbers have been really good, but I didn't think that they were going to be astronomical. And now I think it's going to be, I think you can give these guys a week of promotion, you know, do a little satellite interview with both of them there. I think you could sell a lot of fights, and it's going to be fun. It's going to be a really, really fun matchup between these two. I can't wait for it. And look, I'm picking Jorge Masvidal to win this fight. I'm picking him to win this fight. It feels like this guy's been destined to win the championship now for the better part of a year. I don't know what the hell happened on that quest that he went on when he went on the reality TV show and he unplugged. But he is he's a different kind of killer. He's a different kind of killer since he's come back from that. Kamaru's looked fantastic. Kamaru has looked like an absolute wrecking machine. And I don't think this is going to be an easy fight. I honestly think this is something where I could see this being something I could see it going the distance. I don't see George necessarily knocking him out. But I feel like this is one of those where if he can get Kamaru to work early, if he could, and this isn't a case because I know Kamaru's had an unbelievable gas tank, but if he could, get him to almost tangle with him up against the wall and withstand a couple of rounds of him having to output, take him down, all that type of stuff, I just think that Jorge can win that war of attrition against him. I do, and I think that you saw a little bit of this in the Damian Maia fight where he can make the most out of those short little bursts and hopefully get the better of his opponent. Even though he didn't get his hand raised that night, it was questionable, I thought, because I don't know how much you want to give Damian Maia credit for not going and finishing what he was supposed to do. But that was even, I think, a different time from Jorge Masvidal. Are we going to see a Ben Askren type of moment? I don't know. I think that is probably asking a lot. I think that if you're in his camp, you're probably asking for a ton for George to come out with that flying knee. I'm sure they've been drilling it. And the other thing is, I don't think this is your typical short camp type of thing because Masvidal has been training for this fight the entire time. You know, he's brought in top-ranked wrestlers to American Top Team. He has been investing in getting ready for this matchup. And with Kamaru, yes, he ended up fighting Gilbert, and that was weird, but I think the entire time he thought he was going to fight Jorge. So there's no way these guys haven't done work on each other. This isn't your typical 1 week's notice fight. These guys have known that they've been on a collision course since the Super Bowl. When they're, the whole media world's watching and you guys get into it in the midst of a fight, you know that you could be on a collision course with each other. Usman knew it. We talked to him minutes after it happened. You know, he knew it. Masvidal knew it. There's a whole rhyme and reason to why it happened. And I'm glad that they finally are going to be squaring off in a cage, man. This is going to be a lot of fun. Hopefully everything goes according to plan. Everybody tests clean, gets over to Fight Island. And if that's so, I think that the business for this is going to be booming for Masvidal versus Usman. I really, really do. I think it's going to be a monster fight. And, you know, what lies ahead for the winner? I mean, I don't know what lies ahead for Usman. I think he's got a scary style. And as you've seen, is not the most high-profile guy. But look, if Usman comes out here and he is able to beat Jorge Masvidal and he is able to do it in some kind of spectacular fashion, maybe that is the jumping-off point that he needs. You know, maybe that is one where he grabs the mic and says, you know, Conor McGregor's too scared to fight me. I'm truly the scariest guy in all of the sport. You know, maybe that is the opportunity because he doesn't, outside of Masvidal, he doesn't have a lot of big fight options. You know, Gilbert is not a big fight option. It's a weird fight. They were teammates and it kind of fell into the laps. Leon Edwards, he's already beaten. You know, they could do Colby again if Colby can go get a big fight. But if Colby can go get a big win, I think he definitely needs to rehab that. And if Masvidal wins this fight, I think that in 4 months we're seeing him versus McGregor for the welterweight title. I think that's where we're going to end up with. So buckle up. This is going to be a fun fight week, ladies and gentlemen. All this stuff pending. And let's hope it's the case. Again, like the reports were, everybody's positive about it. You're seeing his management being very coy on Twitter with smiley face emojis. BJPenn.com reported that if all tests are go, then we're going to have ourselves a Fight Island matchup. So let's get ready for this puppy, man. This is the one we've been wanting the entire time. Miami, your hometown fighter, has a championship fight, a chance to become a world champion 16 years into the game. It's an incredible story. It was an incredible rise in 2019. And he's got a big task in front of his hands with Kamaru Usman because he's been an absolute monster as champion. He really, really has. I mean, this is a real clash of styles, a clash of personalities, a clash of crosstown rivalry. for many, many years. It's fun. It's a fun fight. It's a big time fight. It's a worthy main event for International Fight Week, no matter where the hell they're putting it. And I can't wait for it. Welcome back, everybody. It is Fighters Fury here on 7-Eye the Ticket. We're going to coming up in about 20 minutes, we're going to talk to Miami boxer J.D. Martinez, a.k.a. Pretty Boy Martinez. We got a chance to speak with him over at Body and Soul Gym, where Glenn Johnson does his training for a little bit. And, you know, J.D.'s very well known down here in Miami, has had some very raucous crowds at some of his events. So looking forward to our conversation with him. You guys will get to know a little bit of his story as he is getting back into the swing of things with his boxing career. Speaking of the sweet science, so I wanted to get to this. Eddie Hearn, he was recently given a what is this, a mailbag? It's the Athletic gave Eddie Hearn questions from the fans in regards to what questions they want to hear from the fans and whatnot. All right. And so somebody asked him, does DAZN need pay-per-view capabilities to make the biggest fights here in the U.S.? This is adorable. So he says, what's happened in the last few months is going to change everyone's business model. The idea behind DAZN was a subscription service without pay-per-view, and I think that was one of the biggest selling points to a fan. Fighters always have been in their mind, I want to be a pay-per-view fighter. And I think the purses have got out of control in the sport. That's partly my fault, or partly DAZN's fault, Bob Arum keeps telling me. But we need to establish a model where fighters will get the purses their values and profiles represent. The easiest way to do a pay-per-view model, that is via pay-per-view model. The DAZN model has been so great for fighters because you get a guaranteed purse. There's no risk, especially at a time when certain fights, the pay-per-view numbers might not look as good as they had hoped. I certainly wouldn't like to see DAZN become a pay-per-view platform because that's not the ethos the product is behind. But I do think to introduce the capacity to do it would be interesting. And the pay-per-view model enables you to be more flexible with certain fights and certain situations. There's only going to be ways to do certain fights. I'm talking about fights like Tyson Fury versus AJ. If we're splitting those TV rights and Fury has an exclusive deal with ESPN, AJ has matching rights with DAZN. It's the easiest way to go into the position. So I like what ESPN has done, where you pay for the pay-per-view, you get a yearly and you get a yearly subscription as well. I think that's something that DAZN should look at. Though that's not for me to stick my nose in, being intrinsic offering to subscribers, but I do feel like to have the ability, capability to land some of the bigger fights. All right. So I rarely do this when it comes to the boxing business of this type of stuff on social media, but you guys know my feelings on DAZN. And if you listen to this show and you don't, here's basically where I'm coming from. I've covered fights on DAZN. Like I've gone and I've covered, you know, the fight card that they did down here in Miami. I gave Demetrius Andrade probably more interviews on a mainstream platform than he's ever been given before. Which, by the way, I love the dude. He's a fantastic guy to talk to. But I'll just say it flat out, man. DAZN has been trash for boxing fans. It's really been garbage. It's a terrible platform from a couple standpoints. One, they bit off way more than they could chew with this Canelo deal, where they signed the biggest star out there to this astronomical number of $300+ million. And immediately, after being what was a reasonable price for a boxing fan, you're going to pay a monthly subscription. Let's keep in mind where we're coming from, okay? We're coming from a day and age where most big fights were on premium cable. So if you have an HBO subscription, unless you're doing finagling, most HBO subscriptions, $18 a month. But you're getting fights. You're probably getting some pretty good shows. You know, Sopranos, The Wire, Game of Thrones, just to name a few. Perhaps you heard of them. Showtime, same deal. You know, you're paying $15 a month for Showtime, but you're getting shows like Billions, Homeland, Dexter, whatever. You know, just to name some of the hits that they've had. And, you know, you're getting a lot for that $18, even though it's a pretty big bump on most people's cable bill. With DAZN, you got this fee of $10 a month initially. And you're like, all right, pretty good. $10 a month. I'm going to get a ton of boxing matches. Let's roll. And then as soon as this Canelo deal signs up, they go and they say, oh, $20 a month, but you $10 monthers, you're grandfathered in. And so immediately, it's not like a small bump where it's like we go from $10 to $12 to $14 to $15 and then to $20. Like, for example, ESPN Plus right now, they just upped their subscription price. I think it was like $4.99. I think they just upped it to $5.99. They just upped it a dollar. Okay, it's a lot. It's a lot, but it's not double. DAZN was double. And I've heard this Eddie Hearn, this highfalutin Eddie Hearn before, where he's like, you know, love, you know, we go out there and you got these pay-per-view models and, you know, I think that maybe, you know, just do, you should only do $100 a month. Like people just, you know, the point of this on-demand stuff, man, why people are watching this and that, you can't guarantee me content for a year. We're not living by those rules anymore. Where it's like, I'm investing for you in a year. You guys have barely been around for a year. And look what you guys have gone. And the thing that drives me nuts about it is, and I'm speaking of this purely, I'm not speaking of this as a media member. I'm not speaking about this as somebody who covers the sport. I'm speaking of this purely as somebody who consumes the sport and spends his money on the sport. I don't get expensed by $7.90 the ticket for DAZN. I don't tax write. I don't even know how to do that. Tax write off for your television networks. People tell me to do that. I don't even know how to do that. I'm a dum-dum. But the reason that I find this laughable, where you want to go to a pay-per-view platform when you've already doubled your monthly subscription price, is you guys can't even guarantee what you're giving me month to month. You promise you're giving me pay-per-view quality fights. You promise me that. But you don't. You give me C-level Anthony Joshua fights. You give me C-level Canelo Alvarez fight. You don't even know who Canelo's fighting next, for example. All right. And I know it's a pandemic. All right. But trust me when I tell you, this Canelo next opponent thing has been a mystery for a long time, guys. Like, it's not like all of a sudden they're hitting you over the head with Anthony Durrell. Like, they've been, you know, there were talks where Canelo was going to go to Japan to fight for his next fight. So these Canelo fights have been hot garbage. All right. Anthony Joshua, if not for the flukiest of the flukes with Andrew Ruiz beating him, this guy wouldn't have a headline to speak of since coming to DAZN. And Eddie Hearn is coming out and he's telling you, well, I want the capability, love, of going to pay-per-view. Pay-per-view? What about all the months people are spending $20 a month of getting nothing? Nothing. I'm not talking about pandemic. I'm talking about nothing of pay-per-view quality from your platform. Not to even put on top of the fact, this streaming quality is so trash. I can't stress it enough. So trash. Like, you'll be in the middle of watching a fight, get onto the fight, and then all of a sudden, boop, kicks back. And before anybody tells me that I got bum-ass internet, first of all, I don't. I got the best internet there is. The best. Because I got to do a radio show from here all the time. So I don't F's around with my internet quality. Secondly, I use every other platform there is. Rarely am I watching just linear television anymore, like most of us. I'm not sitting here watching off my DirecTV or Xfinity or whatever the hell you're watching. So I'm not sitting here without comparisons for what DAZN is going through. I'll be watching DAZN. I'll be watching a good fight. And all of a sudden, back to like the beginning of the card or somewhere in the middle of the broadcast. It'll do it for no reason. No other platform. ESPN Plus doesn't do this. Fight TV doesn't do this. But DAZN on the reg is doing this, and they're doubling your subscription price. And now they want more money on top of that because they effed up so bad with how much they dove into the deep end with this. Get the hell out of here. And the other thing is, what, you know, $20 a month, like, you're like, oh, we should break, love. Who we go? How many pay-per-view fighters are there right now? Let me ask you right now. How many pay-per-view worthy fighters are there right now in boxing? Very few. Very few. I mean, you probably, I honestly think you could count it on one hand, and I won't even count Floyd Mayweather. Canelo Alvarez, Tyson Fury, Anthony Joshua, Manny Pacquiao, maybe Errol Spence? Maybe? Maybe. That it's not going to be a disaster. You put them on pay-per-view. And this dude wants to add a pay-per-view option. He wants to charge $75 on top of charging you $20 a month. Or he wants to charge you $75 on top of that. You got a, you get a subscription, love. For what? What does DAZN have other than fights? You know, when ESPN Plus, all right, this is the funny thing, because we're in a market right now where this is in the same thing for a fight fan. Because with ESPN Plus, when you do this type of thing, and you could get, you have the ability, like, ES, those people say, oh, well, Toby, what do you guys, ESPN is the same thing. No, no. ESPN Plus has UFC fights as their home, okay? Regular UFC fights that I get my $5, $6 a month that I'm paying, plus I get a library of sports stuff, of content, shows, stuff that I'll actually go and watch. Watch Sports Center. All this type of stuff. And it has actual content that I'd like to go see besides boxing and darts, which are, what, once a week? I'm going to go to see Chris Mannix and AZ and Barack talking to a microphone about boxing for... guess what, guys? They have podcasts. I can go listen to that for free. No, and it's not that those guys don't do good jobs. It's just, you know, don't throw that into my subscription price and say... yeah, this is worth four times the amount of ESPN. ESPN. It's worth four times the amount. But I get to see Canelo Alvarez jump around weight classes and fight C-level guys for meaningless belts. That's nonsense. It's nonsense. And so I saw that this week and I was like, Jesus Christ. They want more money from boxing fans and they haven't even done a good job with the money that they've been given already. Like, just go, like, can we just go back? Go back to going into Showtime. And if I'm going to pay $20 a month, at least give me some good television with it. DAZN's giving you nothing. Nothing. Complete garbage. Garbage quality broadcast. Garbage in treating customers. Okay fights. That's what it's been. They treat their customers like trash. Their technology is trash. And their fights are, all right. If it wasn't for Fatboy Andrew Ruiz knocking out AJ, what AJ fights are they putting on that anybody's that crazy for? Numbers haven't been fantastic. But he wants to do a pay-per-view model. No. What you want to do is you want to have the same level as ESPN does without having the ESPN content or customer care. I've been watching ESPN my entire life. You know, it's a lifetime of customer satisfaction, usually. But also, you get a ton more sports and content than you do with DAZN. They're still trying to figure it out. Crazy to me, man. Anyway, the other piece of news that went down this week, let me mention this real quick. You had Jarrell Big Baby Miller. He tested positive for PEDs again. A lot of people hosing down Jarrell Miller. A lot of people saying that this should be the end for him. I am a little bit curious because, look, Jarrell Miller is a multiple-time offender, so I'm not trying to give anybody the benefit of the doubt, but I do find it weird that he tested positive for the same thing that he did in the AJ fight. So I'm wondering a couple of things. You know, he says he never knowingly took PEDs. Look, this guy's a buff dude. He walks, you know, he's in South Florida. There's a bevy of people who probably given him supplements. So, look, I think he probably did take something unknowingly, but in the position that he's in, that's not a viable excuse. Or maybe we have like a John Jones situation here, and he's got stuff in the system that's just staying in the system forever. I don't know. I know that I am disappointed because I liked watching this guy fight. I thought he was a great personality for the sport. And a lot of people are saying, you know, if he goes and kills somebody. All right. Well, I guess if we're going to get to that extreme case, let's just talk about the more prevalent fact of going to win a championship is that he's 300 pounds and he throws more punches than anybody in the division. And he probably is artificially getting the endurance to do that. You know, before we always go to the extreme case of somebody dying, which is very, I don't want to poo-poo that. I'm just saying, like, before we go to the extreme case, the real problem is here. Okay, a guy has a skill set of being that size and throwing that many punches, which would clearly take a lot of endurance, and it seems like that's being artificially enhanced. It would appear that way. But it sucks. I'm bummed because I'm a Jarrell Miller fan. I like talking to that guy. He's fun. He's a fun interview. A lot of guys, you know, the thing I heard some people say this week, well, he didn't suffer a punishment for the first time. Dude, he lost the Anthony Joshua fight. Like, if you don't think that's a punishment, you're crazy. And basically had to sign a rehab deal with Top Rank. You know, when these guys test positive and you think they don't suffer punishment, same thing happened with Tyrone Spong, where Tyrone got popped and he lost the Usyk fight. If you don't think that's a punishment, I don't have to tell you why, because you're not technically suspended. Like, you know, the whole point of suspensions are usually to take pay from somebody. These guys aren't being able to be paid because they didn't show up to fight. So, yeah, I was bummed about that this week. But, you know, a lot of people are kicking him down, saying he doesn't get another opportunity. I hope he does get another opportunity in the sport. I hope that he's more careful, and maybe even more careful is a bad way to put it because people think I'll more carefully cheat. I hope that he stops doing this because he doesn't appear either to be very good at cheating, or he needs to be more aware of what is still in his body from when he last cheated or last got tainted. Because it seems like if you're testing positive for the same supplements that you did from the last time, you're taking something that you think is probably going to get mad. Testing's too good these days, man. It's not that testing can't be beat, because usually the cheaters are ahead of the test, but I mean, guys are getting burned in the UFC left and right for minuscule stuff. And this is rough. This is rough. So that's that. When we come back, we'll talk to JD Martinez, Miami boxer. He is on the comeback trail in his boxing career, and we'll introduce you to his story. We'll be back with more after this. Welcome back to Fighters Fury, everybody. Let's get to this. I had an opportunity this week to go down to Miami, talk to Miami's own JD Pretty Boy Martinez, local Miami boxer. He is on the comeback trail with big aspirations, and had a little bit of a sit down with him. Let's hear his story. Very excited to talk to JD Martinez. Thank you so much for the time, my friend. I appreciate you giving us an opportunity to talk to you.
I appreciate the opportunity.
So why don't you give us a little taste, man? You know, you were known in the Miami circles. You were, you know, one of the most well-known boxers down here in South Florida. You've been out of the ring for about a year's time. You seem like you're picking up the pace on social media and whatnot. So give us a landscape of where you've been for the last year, and what are your plans going forward?
Well, you know, we've always been in the gym. You know, I had to take some time off and really take a look at things from the outside. You know, we're back now. You know, I'm at Body and Soul. We're training with Glenn Johnson. You know, just taking my time with things. I took some hard fights. You know, I let my gut get to me instead of taking the smart route. But we're back. We're training hard. You know, basically, we're going to get some fights, maybe Venezuela, Mexico, once this COVID is over with.
Right.
We were supposed to fight in March. We had the flyer done. It was going to be at the Miccosukee under Henry Rivalta. So that was my big comeback fight. It was for the NBA title. Things happened. COVID went into effect, and, you know, things got on delay. I'm not the only one. I'm pretty sure the sports industry is feeling that as well, you know.
Absolutely. Like, how has that been on your body as far as training? Like, you know, have you been able, is it ramped up more now that things have started to open up again? Was that hard, like mentally thinking like, oh, I had this target date and, you know, it kind of got put off?
You know, I'm pretty sure it's hard for any athlete, but I feel very peaceful now. You know, I'm taking my time. We're training twice a day. I feel like I'm getting better. You know, Glenn Johnson, he used to be a champion.
Of course.
He knocked out Roy Jones.
The Road Warrior.
Correct, yeah. And I feel like it's going to be a good combination. My buddy, CJ, he trains here as well. He's 19-1 as a pro. Great strength and conditioning coach. I just feel like this is the right path that I'm taking now, and just big things and better things to come, you know.
How did the link up between you and Glenn happen?
Well, basically, one of my best friends, CJ, he's a pro boxer here as well. We've been talking back and forth for a while. Not only that, but I used to live on the beach. It was walking distance from Fifth Street. I love Fifth Street. I love Dino, everybody at that place. I moved to Coral Gables. Now I'm walking distance from this gym. It's just very convenient now, and I feel comfortable here, you know.
Is there anything that you've taken from your time away from the ring that you want to do differently, better, smarter, as you kind of go into this next wave of your career?
Well, definitely. I just, you know, I had a lot of distractions my last three fights. You know, I had law issues. I had a full-time job. I had very distracting girlfriends that weren't for me. But now, you know, I'm alone, I'm peaceful. And I just feel like that's what it takes to be great, you know? You gotta, you can't be comfortable. And I was very comfortable, and it was a huge mistake. So, you know, I look back, I'm fixing my errors, and we're staying focused on the game plan. And I'm very excited for the next half of my career. I feel like, you know, I've never had a problem selling out arenas. Right. I'm sure you're at the Herald. And
yeah, your guys' atmosphere for the Crosstown Rivalry was one of the best atmospheres we've ever had down here. Right. You guys very much had the crowd split, almost going at each other. It was crazy.
Yeah.
So I just wondered, like, is that, you know, are you hoping, like, is that like the next, like, do you want to get to that again, getting your fans behind you to see you back in action? Like, what are like the things you'd like to see kind of ticked off as the year goes by, and hopefully things get back to normal, let's say in 2021, and fans are allowed back in a building?
Man, I need to get my feet wet. I need to get back in the ring. I'm going to get some fights. You know, stay focused, stay dedicated. I feel strong. I feel better than ever. I just feel like there's bigger things to come. You know, I feel healthy, and you know, thank God, you know, I have my talent as well. As long as I put in the hard work, I don't think we'll have a problem making it to a world title. We're going to get two fights out of town once COVID is done. Come back and bring one big one home for the title. That's the plan. So we've got 13 pro fights now. I would say about my 17th pro fight, we'll have a sold-out arena here in Miami.
To give our audience a sense, who have not seen you fight, JD, but, you know, you're from down here. You've worn the Dolphins-colored trunks, yeah, going to the ring and whatnot. You know, the fight culture down here is very, very rich,
right?
Has been for a long time. So give a little people a sense of your background, where you come from, what got you into fighting.
Well, my father was a pro fighter. My uncle, Fernando Mad Dog Martinez, was a pro fighter, very popular here in Miami. He used to be the main sparring partner for what's his name? Aaron Pryor. I'm sure you know Aaron Pryor. You know, boxing's been in my blood. I'm Puerto Rican, I'm Colombian. I started in amateurs. I won the Florida Golden Gloves. I won the Police Athletic League Championship. Basically turned pro with Fifth Street Gym. And we took off from there, man. We went to 10-0. We took a big fight at the Hard Rock, and basically we're just regrouping and bigger things to come. So
outside of your family, were there any boxers that you looked up to, anybody you really admired or liked to take pieces of their style?
Oscar De La Hoya, Tito Trinidad, Aaron Pryor, you know, Mike Tyson's aggressiveness. You know, I'm a big fan of boxing. There's nothing I don't know about boxing. It's something that I fell in love with. And I'm glad I'm pursuing my dream. It's very gutsy. You know, those are my idols growing up, those guys right there. I looked up to my father a lot. He was a great fighter. They just, you know, they threw him in with the Lions. His seventh pro fight, he was fighting gold medalists. Jeez. So ESPN Classics. So, you know, it was hard seeing him take that beating as a kid. And I think that's what amped up my will to pursue this sport. Yeah.
Your kid is young. Is that like something that you want to show him, that kind of side of you? I know he's very, very young right now, but like, would you like to have that kind of thing of showing him, you know, what this is or could be, you know, because it's been such a thing that's been in your family?
Right. Well, this is something I do for my family. That, you know, the goal is to win a championship. And that's something that I won't stop pursuing until I get there. And, you know, I believe with faith and dedication, I can get there. I want to be a role model to my son, of course, and do things correctly in the ring. Not that I want him to be a boxer when he grows up, but, you know, it's a tough sport. Thank God, you know, I haven't received much punishment in the ring. My defense, you know, I'm sure they call me Pretty Boy for a reason. But, yeah, man, back to the culture. All my trunks are Miami-based. I'm sure you saw the Dolphins colors at the Hard Rock. I've done the Miami Vice, all Miami based, you know. So I went to Colorado for a while. I trained out there at Old School Boxing Gym. I had a lot of sparring out there. But yeah, man, I'm excited for the big things to come.
How about you, with you and Glenn, is there anything technically that you've picked up or liked? You talked a lot about your mentality going forward. Is there anything, you know, new physically that you think you're gonna take going forward and that you can really get better at or maybe just sharpen?
Well, definitely. I've been with him a short period of time, and you know, he's teaching me how to sit down on my punches. I threw a lot of floating punches. I'd bounce in the air, throw a right, and my leg would be in the air. It's not the right way to do it. So he's really teaching me how to sit down on those punches and just, you know, bring that power into it. So I'm excited because, you know, he was a world champion. I know boxing, he knows boxing, and it's definitely something that's gonna improve my skill, definitely. I see it already, you know, so it's just for the world to see it in the ring, and it's gonna be soon. But we're just here, we're putting in the work. That's all we can do for now.
Well, JD, we appreciate the time, man. Is there anything else you want to say to Miami before we wrap things up and what they can expect to see from you, I guess, over the next 12 months?
Yeah, sure. Guys, stay tuned. You know, big things to come. We're training hard. We have a good 10 years to go. And, you know, follow us and, you know, JD_Miami on Instagram for updates and fight dates coming soon. Thank you for tuning in.
Thanks again to JD Martinez for checking in with us from Body and Soul Gym. We appreciate it. And we'll continue following the journey, man. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Brendan.
Thanks again to JD DeMartinez for giving us some time this week. Always appreciate it. Got some more stuff coming your way this week, guys, on the local boxing scene. I think you guys will enjoy as well. And that's it. Everybody have a great rest of your weekend. Talk to you on Monday.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.